You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if you told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way, because you are listening to The Movie Show.
What is up?
Hey!
This is The Movie Show.
Oh, and your favorite... Your favorite O-R-S-P-S. Did you hear that? I doubled O'd. Yep.
You triple O'd.
Huh? Was it a triple?
It was a triple
O. Very good. World record there. So it's your favorite online podcasting service.
So I stuffed you up there. Yes. In short, radio station.
Yes. The movie show on Active FM with
me, Sash.
And myself, Ryan.
And today we are talking about the very anticipated...
The Batman.
The Batman. Not just Batman. The Batman.
The Bat.
The 2022. We are like tripling everything today. O's, yes. Twos.
Something tells me everything's going to happen in triplets. Triples.
Yes. So, Ryan, if you could give this film...
Are we starting like
one
that?
One word. One what word. Would your one word be?
I don't know.
No, that's definitely not one word. That's three words. Yes. We're back to threes.
It would have to be a very, uncertain.
Uncertain? So you don't know if you liked it?
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not from a quality or a storytelling, I like to rate a movie on how I felt afterwards. Yes.
How did you feel?
Depressed. And there's one reason, and I'll tell you at the end of the show why. Just remember.
Great.
We mustn't forget it.
You don't forget
I'll
it.
I'll tell you exactly why. So I'm making a note here. Why did you...
feel depressed.
Feel...
We must...
How do you spell depressed? Is that triple P?
It's definitely triple P. Depressed.
It's depressed.
Okay, yes. So just to give you some background, right? So before this Batman came out, we had... Okay, no, wait. Well, sorry. I was about to lie to you. We have the Ben Affleck Batman.
Sasha, you're not giving us a one word. What one word do you have? Hang on. Whoa. Back.
One word.
Awesome. Spectacular. Life-changing.
I'm trying to fit this into one word.
You see? That's what I'm saying. It's a sentence. It's da 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 da, but da da da, and I liked da 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 da. That's actually, it should be not one word, one sentence.
Okay. Yeah. I think it stayed true to the comics.
Very good.
And I'll tell you why.
Very cool.
At the end. No, I won't. I'll tell you around the middle.
Would you say that this was like the previous Batmans?
Okay. I haven't watched all the Batmans. So we did the Christopher Nolan trilogy last year, which I had seen bits and pieces of it, but I hadn't actually sat down because I wasn't a DC fan. I was like, meh. So I didn't really, But then last year we did the three films.
Yeah, let's stick on what we've watched.
Yeah. They were brilliant. I love them. I absolutely love them. But now at the same time, that's Christopher Nolan. That's Heath Ledger's performance. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, yeah. I remember seeing bits and pieces of Ben Affleck's Batman, and it didn't really grab me. Like, I honestly didn't follow his Batman at all. I can honestly say I didn't follow it. And then before that, I've just seen, like, bits and pieces here and there of Batman, and honestly, it looks very corny. That's honestly my initial, if I had to say one word.
The Ben Affleck one.
Not Ben Affleck. It was the ones before that. So even so definitely the George Clooney one. It looks, but it's the costumes probably with that. Like, you know when the costumes just look like.
Cause they were going comical.
Yeah. And then there's the Adam West one. That one. Oh my goodness. That was, I feel like they were ripping Batman off in that one.
Yeah.
And then even the Michael Keaton one, like the costumes itself.
That's the first one I watched.
Oh really? Did you actually watch that one?
Michael Keaton, yes. The Joker.
And?
And the Joker.
Obviously, cause that was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
But no, but as in like, yeah. Was that your original? What Batman is
back,
to you?
Back then I was like, okay.
Cool. That's Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
Okay, so now.
Old movie. So you're obviously expecting that, you know, the costumes, the way stuff was done, you know, even though Jack Nicholson like really pulled off quite a scary Joker.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think also the problem is watching some of those films now is you're like, seriously, this is terrible. But terrible because it was back in the day.
That's what I was thinking, because the Batmans that we've watched now, the recent one, the one with Christian Bale and the one with the Batman now, definitely a whole different, like a more mature feel to it. I don't know how the comic. I'd love to know what the comic book fans say. If they're like, yes, this is our Batman. Or if they're like, nah, not quite what we were picturing.
There's actually quite an interesting story with the comic book thing, which we will discuss next week. Haha. Because next week, this is one of those films where you can't do one show on them.
All right. So, I better shut up about the different Batmans then. Okay. I mean the actors. Yes.
But next week, we're going to discuss specifically, like, who was the best Batman? Yeah. Like, who fits the role of Batman? But there's actually a whole story with the. But the reason why I said I think this was true to the comics is because of the whole detective feel that they went with this film, which other Batman didn't really, you didn't feel like you were watching a detective film, if I could put it like that.
This one, no.
This one you did.
Yeah.
And do you know that DC Comics, so DC stands for Detective Comics.
Oh.
That's literally what DC stands for.
Wow.
So that's why I think this is really true to the original comics, well, and even the name in itself, DC.
Because that's what they were doing.
Yeah, that was literally, felt like you were watching a detective movie.
That's true. This Batman, I felt like we were trying to solve something.
Yes.
I didn't feel like we were chasing a bad guy. No. I mean, we were chasing a bad guy, but it was kind of
like
weird.
It felt like one of those weird CSI or...
Because the bad guy was kind of the good guy in a way, but...
But at the same time, Batman was always... It felt like he was always one step behind the Riddler.
Yes.
So you... Which is detective films, that's what you feel
that's
like.
Because
they're chasing every murder. So they're always one step behind the murderer because... Or a couple of steps behind the murderer because they're trying to find out who the person is.
Yeah.
Which this had that feel. And even the whole relationship between Gordon and the Batman... Like, you really felt like it was two detectives. Like, that was...
And Gordon had more of a behind him. Like, it was cool.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I understand, though. Okay, I think I understand why you felt depressed by the end of the film. But you're still giving us your reason at the end of the film. But just to give us some... I don't know. What's the word?
What is the word that you're
basing this on? Previous Batman films.
Yes.
So I went and looked at specifically the box office for the three Christopher Nolan. Because I think those were I don't know how well the Ben Affleck Batman films did.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they didn't do
that
well.
Isn't it difficult to say now because of the whole lockdown thing?
Okay. Yeah, there's that.
The whole thing of cinema.
This is what's interesting about that, right?
Yeah.
So, when I looked at The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, which was film 2 and 3 in that series, they literally, the box office was in the billions. Like, those two films did so well. But now, when I looked at the first film, right? The first film, Batman Begins, made $373.7 million. So, the other two films, there was a significant jump up, which means people then anticipated. So that's why, and then it just kept getting better and better, which is kind of what you expect and hope for when a film has more than one film in the series.
Yeah.
Because if it goes downhill, then you're like, okay, it was a flop. But with this, it actually went up. So in order for the Batman technically to be a success, it then needs to obviously make more than the $373.7 million, right? Now the Batman, now we have to take into account pandemics happen, people aren't really going to cinemas, etc., etc. Some films, also streaming sites, in when Batman Begins came out, streaming sites wasn't a thing. So now people, they're streaming sites, so people don't want to leave their house.
Kind
they're just gonna
switched over.
Yeah. So now it's kind of a thing of, okay,
it's difficult to get the numbers, I suppose, as well. Yeah.
So this is the box office for The Batman, which is now the first film. I'm hoping in a film series, I would like them to take this further. But the first film, for now, our interpretation, or the 2022 interpretation of Batman, is $604 million. So it's done better than the first Batman begins.
Okay, wait, that's good.
That is a good sign.
Yeah.
That is actually a very good sign.
Hmm.
Obviously, it hasn't done as well as the Dark Knights and Dark Knight Rises, but also we have to take the pandemic. Follow-up, yes,
then
and
we'll see.
They were follow-up films.
Yeah, so we'll find out if people are going to want to. Are they going to take this on?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the director of this film is Matt Reeves. I recognized his name, but I couldn't go, yeah, no, he directed this and this. But then when I went to search, I was like, oh, he actually hasn't done a lot of films, but he directed War of the Planet of the Apes, which had Andy Serkis in it, which I thought was quite interesting because Andy Serkis plays Alfred in this film,
right,
and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
So he must have pulled him in. Hey,
probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Then he did Cloverfield and the Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh, my word.
And 10 Cloverfield Lane. Aren't those horrors?
They are horrors.
Which kind of explains a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I was depressed.
And then the other film is Mother / Android, which I personally haven't seen. The only films of his that I've watched is Planet of the Apes and now The Batman.
It sounds like a film that was probably one of his first films or something. Maybe, right? No?
Which one? Cloverfield.
Mother
Android. Does look, though, fairly new. The poster looks like, it doesn't look like an old film. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
It looks disturbing, though.
But it does. It looks like one of those.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that explains.
So, that's his style.
Quite a few things, yeah.
Yeah.
For me, the story, the way that they did the story from this film, I preferred. It was like way cooler for me.
Then compared to?
Then the Batman Begins.
Oh, really? The Christopher Nolan one?
Yeah, I liked it. Definitely. At the end, though, the story itself, I was like, okay. All right, cool. It was very long, though.
No, it was. In fact, they say the only other superhero film that meets its length is Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no, all other films are. So it was, it was a very long film. But I personally, so I watched it twice. I watched it in cinema. I watched it
twice. How did you do that?
So I watched it in cinema when it first came out. But we went to a very late show. And as a result, I was tired. So you know when you're tired, especially with this type of film, you needing to take in information and you're just, I was just tired. It was like it was a Monday night. I don't know why we did that, but anyway, it was a Monday night. So I was really tired. So I think towards the end of the film, I was just like, I want to sleep.
Are you just sitting like an income
right
now?
Yeah, you know when you're literally like, please, Ed, I don't want to be in this chair. I want to be in my bed right now. So like that kind of like put a damper on the movie. But that's why I decided not to judge the film because I was like, you can't in the state you were in, you're not going to give it a sensible rating type of thing.
You kind of just want to know how the story ends.
Yeah. So then I went and watched it again and I was like, yep, definitely needed to watch the end of this film again because it was a thing of this thing is 3 hours long. So what I did was I decided to split it up between like 3 days. But what ended up happening was I watched the first 40 minutes on the first night and then I watched the rest of the film, the rest of it, I didn't split it. I watched the rest of it again and it actually pulled me in, which is a good sign because I'd already seen it. So I do think that even though it's 3 hours long, which is quite long, it still grabs you. You're not sitting there like,
you see, I wouldn't watch. What I will say is this. So obviously I watched it in one go. I watched it with my family. So we started watching it. I made sure that we had enough time. So I started watching it at 8 o'clock. I'm like, okay, genuinely a good long movie, 2 hours. So 9, 10 o'clock. Okay, 10 o'clock is a good time to get into bed. And then we got to 10 o'clock. And then eventually my wife turned to me and she's like, Ryan, how much longer is this film? And then I went and I moved my mouse over because you know you watch it in quick time. Then I watched time and I'm like, okay, we still got a good 50 minutes to go. And they were like, no, we're going to bed. My oldest son was like, no, he wants to watch more.
Shame.
My youngest son was scared, so he had to sleep in the bedroom with us. I don't know if it was the film, but I wanted to watch the rest of it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, but I'm going to be so tired. Got to be up at 5. Sure. But I wanted to watch it and I actually stuck through it.
Yeah.
So, you know, where compared to the Christopher Nolan films, I would have, no, I would have been like, I think, but where I would have been in just the beginning, like the, whatever, the second, third of the film, is that the right way to put it? The second, I would probably would have been like, nah, I'm going to just watch. But I actually wanted to watch the rest of this film.
I think for me with the Christopher Nolan ones, the first one was good. The third one was good. The third one, I remember also being very young and going to watch it in cinemas, but I hadn't seen the previous two. And my memory of that film was not enjoying it because I was young and I felt it was long. So obviously. Whereas with the second one, when I watched it, now I hadn't watched the second one previously, but the second one caught me. But I only think it was because of Heath Ledger's performance. I think his performance was just so insane. You were like, wow. And every time he came on screen, you were like, yes. Because normally you don't like, normally you're like, no man, he leave is. The villain, go back to the protagonist type of thing.
He's so interesting. Yeah, no, he's so interesting.
His performance was crazy. Yeah, but definitely I agree with you. This one, the story grabs you and it doesn't. Like sometimes with detective films, cause they did go like a detective style, you can get lost eventually. Like the story is so complex and they've just decided to pull leads in from everywhere. And eventually you're just like, wait, what? Who, what? Like, who are they chasing again? What, who's the bad guy? What?
I'm like that all the time.
Oh, really?
But with this film, there was just one person I just wanted to know. And it was, I can't remember who the, basically the mayor of the city.
Oh, yeah. The one that died in the beginning.
The head criminal boss. Is it the rat? Within the film, they were like, who's the rat?
Oh.
In other words, everyone works for this guy. I think it starts with an R. It was played by, I'm going to give
Colin
you.
Colin Farrell ratted him out. The penguin ratted him out. It was
you,
her,
you know
her
who
father.
I'm talking about.
It was Catwoman's father.
That was
father.
Her father, right? The guy that played in Transformers as well.
Was he in Transformers?
He was also.
What?
Let's just make sure we're talking about the same guy. I'm going to.
He was Falcone.
Yes. That's him. That's him.
Whatever, that dude, yes.
It's the first time I've seen him play like such a bad, like serious character. I've never seen, like in Transformers, he was like the CIA, FBI kind of guy.
He
was like the real bad guy. Then eventually I was like, I'm with you guys. Let's go, you know? So, but other than that, I was with him and, the thing that grabbed me about this film was that there was the Riddler. And it's like, it's the bad guy, but the Riddler's sort of pointing out all the bad guys.
Bad guys, yeah. So you're like,
so I was like, I'm kind of liking this film. It's kind of
like,
cool.
Okay, the only thing he's doing is killing, which maybe that would make him bad, but otherwise he's basically being like,
exactly.
He's cleaning up the city type
and the
of
way
thing.
Like stuff just, so it was a very unexpected, like for me, and I know you spoke about the cinematography.
Oh, no, the cinematography was beautiful.
Which I went like,
you all know it was beautiful.
It was so well done.
It really was.
And obviously this was the same cinematographer with Dune. And there was another film that he did as well. And I know that the method that they do, which this guy also did it, was the whole thing of they're shooting digital and then they'll burn it to film and because of the film look. Mm. And the lens that they used as well. They used an anamorphic lens, which if you know what it does, it often blurs the edges. If you look at a lot of highlights, it often looks sort of stretched. You'll see like candlelight in the background. It gives you very little So the way that they shot this film was like art. Mm. It was beautiful.
No, it was. It literally is.
And I think that's also what made this film a very dark, gave it a very dark feel because you didn't have clarity. So when you watch it, there was a very sort of center focused part and you almost felt like what's going on? Wait, type of thing.
Which is kind
of
clever because it adds to the whole, but also the whole detective feel.
Yes.
Cause you're also in the story in itself, you don't know what's going on, but now also the way they filmed it, they made you feel that, which is a brilliant film technique because if you listen to any film department, if you listen to the cinematographer, if you listen to the production designer, if you listen to the script writer, if you listen to the director, the actors, all of them say, you do it for the story. You make sure that whatever you do adds to the story and adds to the audience feeling the story. So the fact that they did that is brilliant.
And this film, like I felt the story, like, the way that it was shot and the loads of shadows. And I know that something that I saw the way that they shot it, I was like, oh, this is what I said she liked, is there was a lot of that like POV type of, like random like shots. So something will be like a scene will be taking part and the camera's like on the floor and it's happening in the background, like you see feet, but you know what's going on. Like, yeah. Say for example, like the killer's murdering someone, you see the shoes and you see like the feet walking over, and then you see the person like falling to the ground, and then you see, like how that insane. Whole feel was just like, wow.
You know what made me feel like, you know when you really feel sick to the stomach, was you know when Gil Coulson, he didn't kill him actually, you don't realize he didn't kill him until later on in the film,
yeah.
But it was under the train, his car was parked under the rail, right. But that, so you're in the car and you know what's going on, yeah. And then suddenly the camera jumps way out and all you see is the two lights from, I think he was electrocuting him or something, or
it was
he was putting
bomb
yes,
that he activated.
And you just see the lights flashing, but yeah. You realize anyone looking doesn't know that a guy is, at the time you think he's being murdered, yeah. So a guy is being murdered, but on the outside, that the whole, I don't know, that just messed with me. It got to me. I was just like, okay, that's freaky. That's really, you know how they say when like the villain looks directly into the camera lens, it freaks your audience out because suddenly they break a fourth wall and the audience now doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
For some reason, that did that for me. Like suddenly I was like, oh, that's freaky. So you could be like dying somewhere and no one would know because like that really got to me.
Well, with that scene, I realized when it did the whole POV from, and you knew that it was the Riddler now spying, watching out, looking at the detective, the guy from the DA's office who came out, and you're like, oh no, he's watching it. He's next. And then when it shot to there where they were, and he still said, you know, do you want to ride? My car's right there. I was like, oh my word, the guy's in the car. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's storytelling and it's like, it's just, it was really, really absolutely well done. It makes sense that you see, so the cinematographer was Greg Fraser, and you see, the other movies that he made, like the horror films, I wouldn't want to go watch the horror films.
When there were two times I was just like, that's insane. I even watching it the second, so the first time I watched it in cinema, so you can't stop it in reverse, be like, sorry guys, can we just go back 5 seconds?
I just spotted something.
So obviously then I didn't really pick it up, but I picked it up when I watched it, on my Mac. The first time you see the Riddler, the first time when he's hiding behind the mayor, I don't know if you picked that up, literally the mayor's on the phone and then he walks away, but the shot stays where the mayor was standing, and for a second you're like, why isn't the camera following him? And then you see in the shadows, you see the Riddler, but
oh,
he was there the whole time.
Oh, that's right.
And you're like, what?
Yeah, that's the
when
first time.
Yes, when your eye picks
like,
him up, you're like, oh.
I was like, who's that? Wait, who's that? Oh no, wait, it's probably just a suit. No, it is.
No,
it's a guy.
It was him.
I know. And the guy that played the Riddler, like who the hell is this guy? Like,
he
poor
is
Dano.
Freaky. He is freaky.
I felt like super freaked out by him.
But Jamie, actually, he's a nice guy. I was watching a video on Vanity Fair.
Really?
Where him, so it was him, Robert Pattinson, Zoe Kravitz, and Jeffrey Wright were going through a whole lot of like fan, you know how people like speculate, like fan theories. So like they were saying, Robert Pattinson's actually not Bruce Bane, he's Thomas Bane, the father. And it's an alternate universe where instead of the son, watching his father and mother getting killed and then becomes Batman, the father watches his son getting killed and then become, so like they were doing like a whole, whole lot of fan theories, and he was actually, he was just like a normal dude. You're like, oh, okay, he's not a psychopath in real life.
I've seen him before though. The minute I saw his face, I was like, I know this guy.
I also feel, okay, you don't see his face a lot in the film because he's got the mask most of the time.
Yeah.
So, but like seeing his picture now, I'm also like, I know this guy. But that's also, while Ryan's searching, the crazy thing about the film was the cast in the film.
Mm.
The cast was incredible. So you have Robert Pattinson, you have Zoe Kravitz, you have Paul Dano, who plays Riddler. Colin Farrell. How insane.
I wouldn't have known it was him.
Unless he was...
I know you told me, just look for the fat guys. Just like,
the fat guy. You're like, no, it's not Colin
then
Farrell.
Then I Googled him, I'm like...
What?
Can't even relate.
Doesn't even look.
Can't even relate.
Yeah.
Why would they even do that? Like, it's so weird how they would hire someone
who doesn't look anything
and
like,
he doesn't look anything like, like, how do you picture that? Like, how do you picture, oh, this is the right actor?
This is the actor
we're looking for.
You have
know?
To be amazed at the makeup artists as well though, cause they
and I'm thinking about other movies that I've seen him in, and I'm like, I don't know how they related. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Maybe they were just buddies. Hey man, put me in the okay, cool. I'm gonna find a place. Okay, well, we haven't found an actor
for the Penguin.
Yeah,
can you get fat in like 3 months?
You know,
And then Jeffrey Wright. I really enjoyed Jeffrey Wright. I really enjoyed him as Gordon. I think he did it. He was tough.
He was.
He wasn't like, yeah. No. And then Andy Serkis was Alfred.
Yeah.
He did a good job. I did he was in a difficult position because I really enjoyed Michael Caine's Alfred. Like he is like, he did such a good job.
I feel like he had to actually, what's the right word? Like he had contest, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I think his accent, he obviously played a very British, that very British accent, which I think
was good, yeah.
Yeah, if it was anything else, it would have been like, yeah. And the facial hair, the beard, the like.
Which also helped because it made him look different, which, yeah. And then, this was interesting. So Barry, Keoghan, he plays, he's actually, his character on Google is titled Unseen Arkham Prisoner. That's his title, right? But everyone can see that he's, okay, this is what they say. He is the Joker, but he's not yet the Joker in this film. So he's been put in prison, et cetera, et cetera, but he's not yet taken on the role of the Joker type of thing.
Yeah.
But I think for the two people that had the hardest role, because you compare them with other people, is first Andy Serkis, but secondly is Barry Keoghan, because of just the other people specifically being like Heath Ledger. I know Jack Nicholson also did a very good job with the Joker, but I know for myself, like I'd heard about Heath Ledger's Joker and people had ranted and raved about how brilliant it was. So when I went into The Dark Knight, I was expecting amazing, and yet he still exceeded my expectations. So like his performance was insane. So I think they had like the hardest job, but honestly, and then it was weird because he has a deleted scene which was released after the film came out. And I don't know why they did that, but basically in the deleted scene, his acting is I don't know if you saw the deleted scene. It is crazy. He did such a good job. Like, and you barely see his face the whole time, which means like you're basically acting via voice and like body sort of movements, because you see him like blurred. It's only right at the end that you kind of see he moves, and then you see his mouth and his eyes. But he did a good job.
You kind of get a glimpse that his face is pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Like actually his whole body's like
pretty messed up. Yeah.
Pretty being tortured and stuffed up.
Which
to the makeup, you're like, ow, type of thing. So, which is way, for me, that's now another level up from what, Heath Ledger did.
Yeah.
Cause Heath Ledger was still like, you know, you could see he was still fine, just the makeup was.
And he had scarred around his scarred. But that was but pretty much it.
But this one looks like very psychotic.
Yeah.
And his laugh. And I think for me, what makes this, Barry more, is his voice is a bit more of a high pitch.
Yeah. Which he doesn't speak like that. Yeah. I've heard him.
It's just weird, actually.
I actually think Barry's a very good actor because I've seen him in such different roles. And for me, whenever an actor is different, like you watch them in this film, then you watch them in the next film, and you don't really realize it's the same person, then they're good because... Yeah. Yeah. Now, apparently, director Matt Reeves has revealed that in the Batman, as in this one, universe, Keoghan's Joker had his scars from birth, as opposed to like previous ones, and his permanent smile is the result of a disease, actually. So he can't actually stop smiling. He physically cannot stop smiling. It's not that. Yeah, you know how there's the different origin stories of the Joker. Okay. This origin story is he's got a disease that actually means he can't stop smiling. And Batman has already encountered Joker in his first 2 years, and they have history together, although he isn't calling himself Joker yet. The obscured makeup was based on Conrad Veidt's appearance in The Man Who Laughs, a 1928 film, and his role in this movie was the main influence for writer/creator Bill Finger, Bob Kane, and Jerry Robinson to create Joker. So they actually went back to the original inspiration.
Wow.
For the comic book writers who wrote the Joker and then based his performance off of that. I did watch an interview with Matt Reeves, and he said one of the reasons why they actually took the scene out was because they felt like it was going to give people this, oh, okay, the Joker's going to be in the next movie, which it kind of did already. Like, so what they didn't want to achieve, they kind of did achieve. So that's apparently why he took the deleted scene out. The scene where Riddler meets Joker, he wanted to keep that in, because obviously at the end of the film, you've had the main bad guy has been taken out, which means, and, Zoe Kravitz's character still says this to Batman, that there's going to be a grab for power. And he said he wanted to keep that scene in specifically where the Batman, where the Joker, or where Barry's character speaks to the Riddler, because he wanted to show that that grab for power is going to happen. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be the next villain. That's what they've said. But I really hope that he is, because I feel like they've shown us something that could be really good.
While he's locked up,
and he's not the Joker yet, which means we might get a Joker origin story, which we didn't really get in Christopher Nolan's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's quite very, you would have had to really play your cards well to do another Batman again.
Mm.
You know, after the previous Batman, you know, with Heath Ledger, these like really good actors that have pulled it off.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, next week we'll talk about what we thought about our Batman.
The Batman. The Batman, yeah. But it really is an amazing film. You need to go watch it. Like, it's good.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. And the music. Oh, the music is beautiful. They have a theme that they play with different instruments.
I just say.
Oh, wait, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
The music.
Yes.
The music was insane. And even, do you know, I thought this was so cool. So whenever Batman is walking towards a fight, right, you would always hear his footsteps. They literally did that in every scene that he was coming. But do you know what they did was, so they would always have four steps and the last one would be accented. That was like a standard thing. So in music, that means that the fourth one has, it's louder than the other three.
Wow.
So if you listen to his footsteps, literally the first three are slightly softer than the fourth one. And they literally do that. But it was so cool. You literally felt his weight just because of footsteps. You were like, yes, this guy. I would not like him to be walking towards me right now because I'd die. That was very... It was very good.
Yeah, we can talk about the footsteps next week as well.
There we go.
Just bring it up.
Come next week for part two. Yeah, no, very good.
So that's what we're going to do next week.
Yeah, go watch it a second time. And then come back
And watch the next one. Yeah. So the song, like, came, like, even the music came off the one song from Nirvana.
And there's a reason for that, eh?
Really?
There's a reason for that.
What is it?
Come next week.
Great.
But Ryan, you have to, we can't keep this, Ryan. Why did it leave you depressed?
So that, like, whenever there was a fight scene, whatever, they used that same, like,
sound.
The same, it's like two chords.
Yes.
Like two chords from, like, the Nirvana song.
Yes.
And that song is depressing. Like, have you ever read the words? Go and read the words. Like, it's literally a pointless song. Like, and it's very hectically depressing. Like, intensely depressing. And then what I love what they did to the film is that right at the end when they have to bring a music up, they didn't bring that song. Because now it's like, no, you know, he's got to be the hero. That's, he can't be a
recluse.
Someone who comes and avenges or whatever. It's someone, now he's coming, because like there was that point where he was like, no, I've got to help people, not just kill the bad.
And I actually am making a difference.
You see?
At one point he was like, what am I doing?
You see?
Because if you think about it, he technically created the Riddler. The Riddler was inspired because he saw Batman in a mask.
Oh, damn.
So then he said, that's literally what happened. That's why he put on a mask and then was free to now be who he was meant to be.
Mm.
And then it was funny because even in that scene with the Joker was laughing at Batman because that's was like, you think this guy's right as well, but you're trying to find him and you're trying to bring him to justice, but you actually believe in what he's doing. And then he laughed at him.
That's very good. That's the deleted scene, by the way. You want to go check that one out.
So, very good film. Come back next week for part 2.
We'll talk about the different Batmans.
Yes.
And then Sasha will tell us who her favorite Batman is.
And Ryan will also tell us.
I
think I know who... Actually, I don't know who Ryan's favorite
Batman is. No, it's quite a simple one. And we'll tell you why.
There we go.
Yes.
But until then...
From Ryan...
And Sash.
Signing out.
Peace.
Yo, it's Ernst, you're listening to Active FM. Christ music, this heart music. You know what it is.